Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, Emil, Tracy, and myself just finished a debriefing session on the recent Japan Real Estate Summit, which we've held in Shibuya, Tokyo, and online via streaming last month. You must have heard about the event by now if you're a regular listener of this podcast and maybe already downloaded the presentations, which are now available on our website, nippontradings.com. We'll link to the downloads page again in this episode show notes. So we've sent out a short survey to participants, and some of you were gracious enough to reply, giving us just enough feedback to review and analyze so that we can improve for you moving forward to next year's event, which we're hoping is finally going to be a full weekend, 2 days jam-packed with presentations, Q&A panels, breakout rooms for various hands-on workshops, more experts, and much more networking. We had some really interesting suggestions and comments, which you'll hear all about in this episode. So enjoy the session, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Japan Real Estate Session back, Real Estate Experts Panel back in session after a long, long, long while.
Hello, everyone.
You're still going through the back some of those recordings from way back when, though, aren't you?
Yeah. No, I know people don't actually know how long we haven't been recording. Just we know.
But this is our first recording since the summit. So yes, we're going to do definitely a bit of a deep dive into the summit. So if you weren't there online or you weren't there in person, why not?
Shame on you.
No, we had a blast. We had an absolute blast. And I guess in the show notes, you're going to put the recap and things in the, like the recordings and et cetera, the highlight reel. Mm.
Sure. So we're recording this, what is it, November 22nd now?
2023, also, yes.
Yeah. Also, apologies to those who, for the technical issue where my recording, we did not successfully record my session on the summit, but I did hold, I think 2 weeks after the date, I held a repeat session just via Zoom, which is fully recorded, nice and clear audio, no gaps, with a Q&A session. And that's
available. It was a lot longer too, actually.
Yeah, it was a lengthy one because there was no, I think the total thing was 90 minutes we had, whereas it was only, we only had about 45 minutes at the actual summit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that goes through in quite a bit of detail. So that's available on the website page.
Mm. Well, I had a blast doing my session. I learned a lot, just even the preparation of it. So, there was a lot of friends in the audience, so I was able to sort of, you know, riff off them a little bit and try and make it, bring in some personal stories that I hope were useful to everybody else. So, but as I said, it's a real estate summit, and as a minpaku, as a like a hospitality business, it's kind of, I am a bit of an interloper, but I just like playing in the same space as you guys. So thank you for letting me interlope.
You are very much the expert. I don't think there's any interloping involved. Watching you speak, and Emil too, actually all of you for that matter, it's like just listening to somebody who knows so much about their subject matter is an actual thrill, even if I don't understand what they're talking about. And in your case, I do understand at least half of it. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And not to forget Anton, who's not joining us on this Zoom, but his talk on Akia and the detail. And again, you know, someone who's so in the lane, knows it so well. I've heard lots about Akia. We've had Matt on before, but, you know, someone who's really just buying them and doing the business and doing the hands-on renovation and whatnot is really interesting to see from a different perspective. So that was really exciting as well.
Yeah, look, Anton's a rock star. I mean, yes, he has a really popular YouTube channel and a really popular, like, you know, image and persona, but he's not just the show pony. He does the work and he's the real deal. So that's what's so, like, just so wonderful about, you know, having him in our little orbit, is that, you know, he does know his stuff really well, because he gets dirty and does the work. So,
and the passion on him too.
Oh my goodness. And also the fact that that's, you know, he does have such a platform and he does have such an audience is really, it's only really going to help other investors really who have that passion to really take the leap and have the courage to jump in, because there is so many Akia, there are so many places that just need some love. And I think the word is starting to get out. So if anyone is sort of thinking about sort of get, like, if you know how to, if you know the right end of the hammer of a hammer to use, then it's a really good opportunity to get in there and like add some value, get something really cheap and add some value and make some money.
I read recently that prices started going up in rural areas as well. So there might not be long for people to actually get those cheap houses anymore.
No. But then there are more and more coming on. I was I met someone at the summit, an amazing woman who she's an investor and now you know, independently wealthy, because she just lives on this passive income from all of these Akia that she has renovated and then has, you know, tenants in them. She's saying there are more and more coming online as the population is aging and as sort of family homes are being, you know, are being put out to pasture. So there will be some more as, you know, as the baby boomers start to pass. So, yeah.
One thing I found interesting, sorry, dropping.
Go for it.
Is, you know, you mentioned just before, like, you know, with Anton, he's really in it. You know, he's doing the work. What I like about this group of sort of our trio, our quad, is all of us are quite hands-on in the business that we talk about. You know, Tracy, you started yourself and you've been a host yourself with your own properties and you help others. I, in terms of the real estate stuff, have bought my own personal home as well. I've done it twice myself and I've got, you know, three children. So buying a house when, you know, when we were pregnant with our first kid and then second house, when we were pregnant with our second kid 2 years later and doing all the home loan process, I've done it myself. I know what's required, what's in it. And now I do it many times for clients over. And Ziv, you yourself as well. You have your own.
We invested first, before we actually promoted the service to anyone else. Yeah,
exactly. You're your own case study to begin with. And Anton is all, you know, a great example of he's doing it. Whereas I find lots of people on YouTube and even other agents trying to pitch investment properties or deals or whatnot aren't actually in the game themselves. They make they're in the business of just the transaction, but they don't really have investment properties themselves, or they don't have their own family home, or they're just purely the consultant, but not, you know, they're just selling the service. Mm-hmm. They don't really have the experience backing it. But what I feel about us, like at the summit, we really have our own personal experience backing it. So I think there's a level of confidence and experience that we have when we talk. But
I was going to say, yes, because I'm like today and yesterday, I've been like, I mean, actually in my grubby clothes today, I've been like elbows deep in decor and I don't know if you've seen my Instagram. I've been like, you know, not renovating.
Doing your magic. I don't know how you people do that.
Well, basically what I'm trying to do is just I'm just trying to, curate some interesting things. So it's not just a like a really bland experience when you come and stay. It's just so that you can you can actually feel like you're at home. I mean, that's what I'm selling, right? That's my product, is I'm selling you a home. It's not just a place to sleep. Oh yeah, gonna brag on my like this is my new branding. What are they like pump packs? So, and just trying to, I'm always thinking about with how I can level up. And, we were just using, every day old like pump packs before. I'm thinking, oh, that's an opportunity to really put more of my stamp on things. So, when you're in the shower and you can, oh, who's that company? So it's Tokyo Family Stay. So
The
I
seal of
try to walk
approval.
the walk. Sorry.
The seal of approval. The Tokyo Family Stay seal of approval.
That's right.
Like
Yes.
that Krusty the Clown seal of approval. It's not just good, it's good enough. Let's go through some of the
Sure.
responses to the summit feedback. So we sent out a questionnaire to everyone who attended the summit. So thank you to everyone. And we've got, I think, yeah, 15 responses. So let's just go through and
That's just a quarter of you who attended in person, and even less than that if we're counting the stream. So what's up, folks?
Yeah, I mean it's hard. Look, maybe we'll have a competition next time. Like we'll do a like,
Oh, raffle, yeah.
a raffle. Everyone who fills in the form has an opportunity to like go in the draw for an
5%
Amazon
off,
voucher. Sorry.
5% off for everyone who fills in the form on the next event.
Oh, management of that?
I was gonna say a
Okay,
five.
that's
No,
a lot
you're
of
right. You're right.
damage.
Raffle, raffle. Okay,
Maybe like
bigger price, bigger
a
price, but
5,000 yen,
just one. a 5,000 yen Amazon card.
Actually, what I do a lot of is when I'm running a raffle is I do like a mixed bag of Kit Kats, Japanese Kit Kats, because they are amazing. So that's what I could do. I could like go into the raffle for like a box of mixed Kit Kats sent to your house. So there you go. So is that incentive to fill in the forms?
Yeah, the 5,000 yen Amazon card, maybe a bit more.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'll give you an Amazon card.
Five, seven. Oh, fair enough. All right. So
All
here,
right.
can you see the screens here? So we had what, 15 people. Now we do have to apologize in advance. There was a little like, we're amateurs here, right? So we did this ourselves, and I think the mailing system was a little confusing in terms of what to click to get onto the Zoom if you were coming in remotely. And I think one or two people had some problems getting in. I think we got there in the end, but because we were emailing like real time, so those emails may have gone into junk mail though. So if that was you, we do apologize, and I'm happy to give you your money back if you weren't able to attend. So just reach out to me. Okay. What do we think? We had 15 responses. It's about half and half of people who responded online. Most people gave us a four. Someone gave us a one, and that's the person who really couldn't get in. And I apologize for that. And they've sort of expressed their unhappiness that they were able to get in. Totally valid. That's on us.
I think I've also identified what the issue was, the confusion with the streaming, the Zoom stream via the versus the Zyko platform
The
built-in
ticketing
server.
stream, yeah.
Yeah, the ticketing service stream. I think that was the confusion, and there were some option selections for the type of ticket we were selling with streaming was not really for Zoom, but rather for their platform. So some people were expecting the platform. To use the platform for the streaming, not to use Zoom. So next time we're just going to be a little clearer with that and prevent that confusion. So yeah, I did notice what was up with that. So
Well, that
apologies.
was my check. Like, I checked the wrong button, did I? I checked the wrong checklist on the back end. So,
Yeah, it's okay. It's an easier resolution for next time.
That's my doorbell. So keep talking about the value for money side.
Okay. All right. So. All right, so what do we have for value for money? 80% said it's just right. We have someone said their streaming link didn't work and no point of contact for support. oh, not by paying an extra 1,000 yen extra or too expensive. So, all right, we've had, but 80% said just right. We think as well, to be honest, for our costs and everything spent, it was also fair for us. I think it was almost break even.
I think it's obvious for everyone that we're not really doing this for the money. The event is just for us to get in touch with people, obviously, and mainly for people to get in touch with each other. That what I like the most about these events is the conversations that happen, you know, during the breaks and afterwards.
100%, 100%. And, you know, I like being in a room with really interesting people. So, you know, creating the room, that's like, it's sort of, and it's, so it's not for money really. It's sharing the knowledge and just the community. So.
And I think we spent pretty much everything extra on snacks, drinks, and then the after party, which was just lots of pizzas and booze.
People can't see me nodding and smiling today because I'm in the dark because I've got a horrid eye infections, which I'm not going to subject you to, but I am smiling and nodding.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we discussed value for money while you were away, Tracy. So where are we down there?
Yep. So who did you most want to hear from? You know, this one allowed you to check as many boxes as you wanted. So who did you want to hear from? And it's pretty, like, you know, everyone wanted to hear from all of the above. So there was not anyone that really suffered, I wasn't particularly interested in this subject. So, it was a good mix of the content. So.
And we will expand. We'll get to that when we're done with this survey. We'll talk about the new survey, but we are going to expand the list of speakers, hopefully.
Sure. And so how did you hear about it? And there's everyone has different ways. So LinkedIn, so there's a combination of Ziv's mailing list, my mailing list, my social media, and Anton's social media. And also our great friend at great friends at Retire Japan, and also shout out to
Thank you, Cheap Ben. Houses. It was nice.
Yeah, Cheap Houses Japan. So thank you for your support, Michael, for your support. So
Michael's one person in the space I haven't actually spoken to, so I might just reach out to him and say hey and have a chat with him, yeah, because I know of his, I follow him on Insta, the Cheap Houses Japan. I think it's great. I love what he does and what he finds. Every time I look as well, I'm also like, oh, that's interesting. That's really cute.
I wish he would come on the podcast, but he's a very, very, very private person.
Yeah, I get that. So, look, got a massive community because he's doing such a great service, showcasing all these amazing opportunities throughout Japan.
We're reaping the benefits, actually, because he's got such a large presence, every time somebody reaches out to him for an interview, he just immediately says, why don't you talk to Ziv? I'm like, okay. And we go on Nikkei. We did Rakumachi last week. We're doing well, thanks to Michael's being a private person.
Well, shout out to Michael. Go you. Well done. So what was your biggest takeaway? This is interesting. So I think I was able to get the message through that it's that the short-term rentals are not passive and Akia is not passive. It's a labor of love. It's very profitable, but it's a commitment. Or you need to be involved with people who are committed. So I think I'm happy that that is the message that people got across.
I think people need to know, and you and Anton relate that very well, is that even if you're working through experts like yourselves, the mental bandwidth that people have to dedicate to the topic, even when they're working remotely on it, is still very much time consuming.
Mm. Well, and your speech, your talk, Ziv, was very, you know, that was amazing how you had the different avatars of all the different, you know, the different types of investors and what, you know, which route that each of them should go. I mean, that was genius. I thought, I've watched your talk a couple of times, actually. I thought, oh, Ziv, well done.
Shout out to Grant Herbert. He's an Australian guy who does presentations on how to present. I saw him at a seminar in Singapore recently, and he gave me some very good tips on how to try to be a bit less of the mathematician and a bit more approachable, like the guy was saying there.
No, it was just so clear, and it was, I think a lot of people got a lot out of it. And you know, if anyone's watching this one, go back and watch Ziv's talk, because it really does clearly identify, you know, who, you know, what you should be doing if you fall into different categories.
Or
So,
shouldn't really.
or shouldn't, exactly. So don't.
I think a real interesting point with that as well is, even if maybe you are one of the categories, but you have a different strategy or something like that, for a lot of new people, they think there's one best approach to investing, whereas really it's sort of it, the best is different for different people on different circumstances, and what their goals and intentions are, the stage in their life that they're at. So just even just being aware that, okay, that's how you should approach investing, right? Not just, oh, what's this person doing or what's that person doing,
Oh,
but
not
understanding.
even just real estate, absolutely. Yeah,
Oh
sure.
with any kind of investment. So it's just good education, and exposure to understanding, okay, these are some different concepts and some different perspectives.
So hang on, let me just scroll down. Here's another few little thing. Nothing. Yes, this person was not very happy, but again, apologize for not being able to get it on online. Everything is possible if you're willing to invest time and or money. Yeah, so real estate to make cash flow.
Sure.
And
Yep.
and Emil's take on financing, I thought that was very educational too, actually.
You're a walking, he's a walking calculator, I always say. Walking calculator of, like, you know, lending opportunities. So.
Gotta find the gaps. The venue I'm interested in. Okay, wow, that was very, very skewed.
Yeah.
I get it though. I very, very much get it. The sound was better than last year, but we still had some mic issues. And I think the layout of the room for the people in the back was not very convenient. I wouldn't be surprised if the ones and the twos came from people in the back.
Yep. Well, the one I think is again that person who was who couldn't get on. So,
But that on that note, so for the venue as well, so I think we had what served the what six was it the 12 respondents for how was the venue.
yeah.
So six have said given it a 3 out of 5, and then it's skewed, you know, 2 for each 2 and 4 and 1 for each of 1 and 5. Anyway, confusing for those listening. But I kind of do feel the venue was, it was not as bright and nice and fancy as where we were in February. It was, but so the room I was, it was not a very attractive room. It felt quite dark, and Anton even mentioned that he doesn't like the space. But that said, being 2 minutes from Shibuya Station,
Yeah,
I think the
location.
convenience, and again, we have a budget, like we do try to keep these events affordable for people to come. I think the ticket was about 4,000 yen or so. And we sort of just like that venue being in a good location for so many people in Shibuya is quite costly. It was just good that we, you know, there's a bit of compromise. We can get a fancier venue, but we, in order to keep the costs low for participants, you know, some of the considerations. And the food and beverage, how do
Well,
we go?
that's, I was going to say, that said though, if anyone was watching or listening and has a venue and they want to, you know, offer it up in a sponsorship capacity or something like that, please get in touch. Or if you can suggest some places, we are open to suggestions. I've got a couple of ideas of where for next for a daytime event.
You're
So
also serving food and drinks at your venue. These people eat and drink a lot after the event.
yes, that's right. If you have a like a restaurant or a bar or something, and you know, we can you know, carry on, then yeah, people do eat and drink a lot. So
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable. tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
Anyway, food and drink, food and beverage. We brought everything in. Well, Emil brought everything in. So snacks and teas and things. Just to make sure people didn't expire.
Well, almost all of it was gone. There were a few cans of coffee left, but pretty much everything else. But pretty much everything else was gone. You know, there wasn't a lot of leftover, so I was happy with that. Kind of even distribution there, but.
Last time in the February event, we did a whole day, and then we had the bentos during the day, and we had a lot of drink left over from February's. But
we're getting it right. We're improving by the event.
Sure. Okay. So what topics would you like us to cover at future events? Let's read through. So more of the same. I want to hear how much interested in Japanese property invest from overseas, real estate in regions other than Kanto.
Good point. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Commercial properties such as offices and warehouses. Okay. I don't have a great deal of, experience with those ones. Ziv, maybe that's more your area. But next one, also tax and financials, a bit of a rabbit hole for sure, but this could be a very good value add or upsell. And I agree, I think we were considering having maybe a tax accountant come and discuss. But that said, I think we need to find someone who can speak to it well. Japanese tax accountants.
Tracy and I were speaking of a tax accountant. He's more than a tax accountant now. He's a bit of a big shot, but maybe the tall guy we mentioned last time, Tracy, could be a good fit.
Sure. And this is something that is a huge part of every business, and not my wheelhouse. I've had, I know how I go for my business, but I'm no expert. I would be interested in listening to a strategist for sure. Financials, maybe even having a lender, come in. Obviously, we have to be careful of conflicts of interest and especially if it was a sponsorship type of arrangement. So that's something that we'd need to work out. But it's definitely one thing we really would like to add for the next event.
Yeah, and I think everybody knows. I mean, we obviously have our businesses too. So, I think if we find the right person who speaks in the right way about these topics and remains impartial, which I think we're pretty good at sourcing these kinds of people, we should be okay, I think.
All right. So this is interesting to have talk about market trends. That would actually be a very interesting topic.
I can talk about that for hours. I just thought people want to be more hands-on. Not a problem at all. Done.
Yeah. That's in your house.
Yeah.
So more about Akia. So it is really like it's trending right now, you know, with all the YouTube channels, not just Anton, but there's a bunch of other people doing the Akia thing. So, and it's different. It's really unique. It's a really unique situation to Japan. So, yeah, more buying. And I think a lot more before and afters. I think people really love that eye candy, that like, you know, this is what it looked like before, this is what it looked like after, and obviously how much value was added and how much, you know, what was the increase in yield and the delta. Programs for newbies.
Curated investment opportunity. So we can definitely do that. The thing is with Japan is that it's a very, very fast-moving market. By the time we research investment opportunities, put them into a presentation, and then it takes a few weeks for the event to actually take place, most of them are gone. But what we can do is maybe pick some bigger ones that people can joint venture into. These tend to stay on the market for a longer period of time. So that's maybe an option.
I mean, we had a lot of questions during the day about people talking about you know, putting together consortiums and, you know, for larger investments. That came up a couple of times during the event. So, you know, obviously that's not my, you know, that's not my area of expertise at all.
Oh, but then there's another one actually for Emil too, available properties that are in the market. So I guess that is a popular request. So let's do that.
So, yeah, I think that's something we can just like some more actual real examples of current listings, whether or not they're suitable for someone, if someone wants to buy it. That's one thing. But I do feel just at least to see what a listing looks like and have them in front of them is interesting. There were lots of questions there and, you know, about investments or group purchasing like syndications, because in the US, that's quite. I've been talking to lots of people, even now. I just came back from the US yesterday, and people there are heavily talking about syndications. And I know that's been a thing for years in the US, but now I'm getting lots of this people talking about how do we do syndications in Japan. And it's not as easy to do a syndication in, I think, in Japan as it is in the US, where it's just such a common sort of mechanism. The REITs are much larger, sort of done by much larger firms, not just a small group of people in general. But that's something to look into. And Ziv, you touched on it just earlier, so you may have some more experience with that.
Yeah, so we've been, like I mentioned at the event, we've been approached a bunch of time by a bunch of people. So we have done some investigations with the accountants and Yosei Shoshi is the people who actually set up these structures. And there are a few ways to do it, either by everyone being a shareholder with one managing partner who's doing the thing, or with people loaning money to the company that is being formed, and then their returns are a part of the loan agreement. Really,
is that like a hard money loan that they would do in the US?
Yeah, except that the return is not a fixed amount every month. It's related to the actual yield that the property generates.
Okay.
So there are two or three structures there that can be put together, and it's really a tax consideration above anything else, depending on what how much taxes people want, whether they want their name listed on the company, what sort of legal recourse they have if things don't work out, and so forth. But the logistics of it are not that complicated. They're very straightforward. So I think we're definitely happy. Like I was saying at the event, we don't want to be in a position where there's going to be any bad blood between us and people who didn't agree with any of our decisions. But if we are hired as a managing party to just make sure the investment ticks, then we're very happy to do it on anyone's behalf. So maybe that's something to actually dig into in more detail next event as well, which is going to be easier. There are a few topics that people want to do now. So maybe if we do something like two presentations each, but we'll talk about that when we're done with this one, maybe over a 2-day period.
Sure. I mean, the other thing that came up with me recently, and which might be of interest as well, is the, you know, the tokenization of real estate in Japan. So, you know, more or like a blockchain, you know, blockchain.
It'd be Emil's baby, I think.
Emil's baby. So anyway, look, that's just popped into my radar recently. So Marketing for renting. I think it would be an interesting topic if I took, because I'm taking over right now. I'm taking over a minpaku that's licensed, it's running, but I'm taking it over as a going concern. And I'm putting my spin on it, and I'm going to use it as a case study to show what someone was doing before, and then when it was really just very basic. And then I've been able to take it over because the person who was doing it decided it was too hard, it was too much work, and it's not really what they thought it was going to be passive. And so it's like, okay, I'll take that and I'll put my spin on it. I want to show the differences between something that's really basic, that's just like a generic minpaku going going into something that's the Tokyo Family Stays look. So
provide consulting to people who are doing it even in other countries, right? That's your expertise.
Well, exactly. I do audits all the time. So I'll look at a listing, and, you know, I'll look at it and go, look at their photos, look at their marketing. So that's why that marketing for renting is it might be something that is people interested. So it's like, well, let's look at this listing. Why is this one successful and this one isn't? And I can break down the marketing side for that.
We can actually do a joint presentation, because we've got a bit of experience with long-term leasing, what works, what doesn't work, how to get tenants in hard times of the year, stuff like that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a great thing. And then loans, mortgages, available properties. So,
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse, definitely.
Definitely your wheelhouse.
And how to buy a building, if at all possible. Yes, that's very, very possible. And it's actually not too dissimilar to buying an apartment, mm-hmm. to buying a standalone, like buying a one room or one house or a building.
I think there's definitely been a request for more deal analysis, so we'll throw in some buildings as well.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And then improvements for next time.
Improvements for next time. So still looking. Okay.
The recordings are all up on your website, and we're updating the realestate.jp website. So we'll also be come to realestate.jp in the coming week or so. You'll see sort of the website revised homepage with the links to the videos as well.
English skill. Someone, you know, obviously we want to be as inclusive as possible, even though this event is in English only. I don't know, maybe we do know a simultaneous translator. We might see if that's a possibility, if there is enough interest in that. But I don't know. It's interesting.
I think they wanted to speak out. It says, from what I'm reading here, I feel that they wanted to speak out, not they could not, no, they misunderstood. And I understand the poll that they're talking about the no rebuild allowed. But okay, that's fine. That's not a big
point.
We can have that at a separate ticket, just gauge what the interest is and then set the price based on that for tickets that require that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Streaming guests, yes. So this was an issue. The mic, like definitely the microphone issue, the audience, that we had to keep repeating the questions from the audience, and we often forgot that because we were so excited to answer the question. So that's definitely a tech issue that we need to make sure we have nailed, because, you know, people who are streaming have paid good money, so they we want to be as inclusive as possible, so they should have their questions heard and be able to hear the audience questions as well.
Yeah, and the next one is similar, like the audio for the Q&A session, definitely. Mm-hmm. Testimonials could be interesting to hear from investors, buyers, and sellers and their experience. That'd be interesting. We could possibly try to invite a previous client to come.
There are always a few in the crowd. We just need to ask them in advance. Once we see people have signed up for the next event who we know are clients, we can just reach out to them and see if they could give a short testimonial.
Pat them on the shoulder. Yeah.
I'm going to
watch a faction event. Bribe them with beer for later on. So.
Yeah. And the next one, similarly, like he said, I can't find the recording. I'm clicking around on the Zyka website. Again, that's from the miscommunication. We have the Zoom links up on the website. The recordings, which are on YouTube. So don't go through the Zyka website trying to find their streaming service and recordings via that. Apologies, we weren't.
That's my bad. That's definitely my bad. I'm loving that people are actually, you know, giving candid, you know, robust, you know, responses, because this is really helpful. It's like, yes, it's lovely to have compliments, but, you know, having places where we can improve is very useful. Yeah. We have thick skin.
I think a lot of the improvement areas were that aspect.
Definitely technical, yeah.
From what I see. This is quite a lengthy thing about
saying that Anton was a bit generic. Okay.
I'm not sure I agree with that. There were a lot of people there who did not really have a concrete concept of what an Akia is and you know the pitfalls involved in the general concept. So, but we can definitely expand. That's definitely something to do.
Yeah.
I think one issue with that response, so what he said was, you know, if you've watched most of Anton's stuff, then there's no real new information that you're seeing. I think that goes for a lot of us. Kind of give all the information out regularly, right? And if you watch all of our stuff, then you have an idea of all of our thoughts on the matter. We're not reserving some special secret nugget just for attendees, but it is a consolidated, you know, 40 minutes where all this information is. Otherwise, you'd be watching hours and hours of YouTube trying to get it. So we do give all the information out for free almost all the time. Yeah. This is just one session to have it all crammed in one day rather than days of YouTube searching. But I can understand that sentiment.
Yeah, but the value really is being in the room. It's being in the room and talking with other investors and like connecting and networking. And that's what I think the value is in as well.
Even on the Zoom, the stream chat, people were chatting amongst themselves, asking questions and answering by themselves. It was a really lively stream as well.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Okay, so
streaming Q&A. Yeah.
Yeah. More mics, I think, will solve that one.
Yeah.
And the venue was too small. The layout did make it a bit cramped, but also impressed that we filled it. 65 people.
566, yeah.
But that, in person attendees. That room is advertised for 120 people. Like, are you kidding me? There's no way that would be a room for 120 people. But it was, that would have to be like preschoolers, maybe. I'm not sure.
Possibly. I can definitely say, look, for a 1 hour meeting or a 2 hour meeting, people can come sit down there for their 1 hour or 2 hours, crammed up 120 people, and then leave. But if you're there for 5 hours, I can see why this feels a bit claustrophobic, even with 60 people. Yeah. Plus support staff, right? There was like another 10 of us.
Yep.
And the camera crew and stuff. So it was quite full.
And most people want to see us again. So that's positive.
86%. Yes.
Yeah, positive.
Thank you all for coming. Don't show them.
I'm not going to show him. I'm sorry. That was my bad. So, yeah. So let me stop this share. And did you want to mention the next, the thing that we're planning for next or what we have an idea for? Zip, what's your feeling?
So I think we're probably good with same as last year, around the beginning of spring kind of thing, like mid-March maybe.
Yep.
And we are actually planning to do it this year, but for various personal reasons, we started a bit too late for that. But we are definitely going to get in front of it for early next year. And we're hoping to do a two-day event. So people will either come in from out of town and stay overnight, or if they're in Tokyo, then they will just go back home and come back if they want. And that will give us a lot more times for a few more presentations, a few more experts, and mainly a lot more, breakup rooms and more networking sessions and more Q&A. So we're going to be sending out a survey regarding that, and we would love to hear your thoughts on it as well.
And So you think Tokyo, or you want to like maybe go into the countryside and do a retreat, or you want to do a retreat in Tokyo?
That's maybe a question to include in the survey, I guess. It's definitely a lot much nicer experience to get out there, but I don't know if anyone can make it, if everyone can make it, right?
Because that's a real commitment if it's if everybody is going to be staying on site too. So yeah. So that means we're on the hunt for a venue for 2 days. Suggestions are welcome.
Will that be February or March? I think this year we did it in February, which I felt was good for me.
Yeah, February was good because there's nothing much else happening in February.
Except the snow.
It's just that it's going to be four or less months apart between this one and the next one. And we're all coming back from holidays around mid-January, so I don't know if we're going to make it on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Interesting.
Also, it's a bit warmer in March.
Yeah, late Feb.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the end of March because then we're sort of hitting school holidays.
No, not the end of March, no, for sure, but beginning mid, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Late Feb, early March, I think is okay, and then same post after maybe a September. This time, yeah. Okay, I'm good with that.
I think maybe a 2 day event in Tokyo first, so that people can come in for 1 day or 2 days as they prefer, and then if we see that they really loved it, then we'll take them out into the countryside next time.
Well, I mean, we'd have to sort of get a whole community of Akiya, or like a whole glamping. You could do a whole take over a glamping village, for example.
Oh, that's right. We can reach out to Anton and see if he knows anyone with a venue that'll hold us all in the countryside.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt as well.
Definitely, yeah.
I think he's got some places that are, that he's worked with that are for larger, these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Matt wanted me to tell everyone that he is unfortunately no longer with Akiya and Inaka, but he's still very much into the Akiya scene. So if you are still looking for an Akiya, Anton is, as far as we're aware, he was asked at the event, but as far as we're aware, he's still not outsourcing his amazing services, but Matt most definitely is. So if you are looking for somebody to help you purchase an Akiya, Matt Ketchum is your guy.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And if you're coming to Tokyo and you need an amazing place to stay, I have been having so much fun decorating my new places. So, I'm adding, I think, 4 new places in the next 2 weeks. So it's going berserk, which I'm really happy
about.
I've
stayed in Tracy's places twice now, every time I've gone to a Japan Real Estate Summit, and I have not been disappointed.
Why, thank you. I try. So, but no, I really would love to do a live audit of, and just, really show, because what it is that makes some places work and what some places don't work. So that would be a lot of fun for me to do.
Add that to the before after fetish, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And our homeboy Anton is not available, but I do want to plug his book, Free House in Japan.
Yes.
Anton, congratulations, man. What an amazing, amazing book. I love the artwork.
The artwork's amazing. So,
it's a great read. I'm really enjoying it. It's also just such a substantial book. There's it feels just the right balance, like the size, the weight, the production on it. Very entertaining.
Already top seller on Asian Travel on Amazon.
Excellent.
Bestseller. Sorry.
It's got such a great title. So,
I think this is the very first one purchased.
I don't know. Mine. What's?
I was quick.
Mine's just here too.
Okay.
There we go. So plug for Anton.
I cheated. I get the electronic version.
I got that too, but I mean, got to support.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice having it physically. You kind of appreciate it because. There are some books that are just text, and I don't mind going to the PDF sort of pre-release versions he sent. But this is it's really nicely put together. Really good. Yeah. So I'm glad.
We're moving in March, so I'm not gonna I'm not gonna burden us with more books. We've got enough of them with us, but maybe later.
Cool. Well, that's available on Amazon. So jump on Amazon. Free Houses in Japan. search it. There's a Kindle edition as well, or the paperback.
Well, I think that I have to get off now. So I hope that's good for everybody.
Yeah, actually, I know that we mentioned that I have a backlog, but I think I'll publish this episode next, just so people who've been to the summit can quickly see the recap.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to see you all with us late February, early March next year, hopefully over a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Who's buying the beers?
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
See ya. See bye-bye.
Ya. Bye-bye.
So yes, again, huge thanks to everyone who participated and an apology to the few who couldn't due to the misleading streaming ticket mix-up. We promise to make sure that doesn't happen again. And as mentioned, hope to see you all again with us, as well as many new faces in the spring edition of our Japan Real Estate Summit coming to you in early 2024. Stay tuned and watch this space for the announcement, hopefully coming your way shortly after the coming end of year break. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time. And until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.